Welcome to Every Album Ever with Mike and Alex. My name is Michael Mansour, and I'm joined, as always, by my excited and in a good mood co-host, Alexander Volt. Say hello.
Hello.
This is Every Album Ever, the podcast where we listen to every single album in the world, one artist at a time. It's usually a new discography per episode, except EAE singles episodes like this one, where we discuss a brand new album or forthcoming album, like this one. And what are we discussing today?
We're discussing the latest album by the band Big Brave, entitled A Chaos of Flowers.
Check out our last, we covered their album from last year, Nature Mort. We did it. So we've been keeping up with Big Brave since 2019.
Yes.
A Gaze Among Them made my year-end list in 2019.
I believe mine as well.
Yep. And then they since put out, was it Vital?
They've put out, yes, Vital. And then
the Nature Mort,
and then a album with The Body called,
oh, that's right, yes,
Leaving None But Small Birds.
Yes, that might have made an honorable mention 1 year, but I only heard it once, I think.
Yes, but so
we've been keeping up with this band for a while.
Been blessed to see them live once.
Me too. I was there.
Mike was there.
Yeah,
our friend Ariana was there
too. Sure was. Shout out to the singer. She's a very nice lady.
Yes, she is. Robin?
Right, it's Robin, yeah. Robin. That was the first time that night that I removed my earplugs because I wanted to feel the music.
I saw that lineup of Big Brave and Liturgy, and I said, fuck my life up, fam.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
It was a good show. It was a fun show. And obviously, we're fans. You, bigger fan than I have been very critical of them since A Gaze Among Them. I've kind of been, like, fallen off. I still like them as a band. I still especially live, but the albums I've had a lot of problems with. What does Alex think about this
new one? This is different even for them. This might end up being a grower for me. This is one of the more difficult albums to tackle. Not because it's abrasive or it's an onslaught of sounds, but this is their most minimal output to date.
So I am very surprised because I think this is their best album.
There you go.
I love this album. I'm back on the Big Brain. I'm back in the Big Brave bandwagon.
Yes.
I'm completely sold. I love this album. I think it's the best one since A Gaze Among Them. I might like it more than that one. Don't know yet.
No, I'm glad. I think this is good, but I think I need to experience this album for a few months.
It is a lot, and it is not gonna win everyone over.
Yeah. Like, if you just have this on in the background, you're not going to appreciate it at all.
No, it's going to get boring, and it's not fair because these are so the as we know, Big Brave, we think of sludge with big, wailing female vocals.
On Gaze, they really mastered a quiet, loud, quiet formula that was outstanding.
And every album since then,
they've been in this kind of, like, I think it'd be fair to say, like, this weird middle ground of trying to reach this album, I think.
But in the way they've approached it seems like it was completely off. Like, if they were trying to reach this album with Vital and Nature Mort, they were doing it in the wrong way because they were getting minimal. For each album got more minimal, but what it did was it minimized just the writing aspect. I explained both of those albums as sludge albums of one note. They're whole albums of basically one note. They're cool one notes. They're rig pounding and they're extremely slow and you really feel it. But like halfway through both of those albums, I'm like, okay, play a different note for fuck's sake. Like, I love sludge so much, but I need a little more than the one note. And here they've kind of like, it's almost like they reoriented the strategy. Like, okay, now we're going to play more notes, but play them less. So it's like the drums are not nearly as heavy. The drums are way buried, way more minimal.
Dude, shout out to the drummer Tacey Hudson, because I couldn't, like, playing slow drums is already hard, and then slow, like, who you are, you, she's a fucking, like, it's so funny because people think of, like, these crazy, like, bombastic drummers, like a Dave Grohl or like a John Bonham, but, like, what she's doing here is, as a, like, former drummer, just as impressive to me, to have that kind of restraint.
The restraint is tough, and especially if you're gonna,
and you have all this fucking space where this, like,
so much space,
not even a ghost note.
Nope.
They're called ghost notes. Most people won't recognize them.
You gotta, it's a, so much weight. There's so much waiting involved. Mm-hmm. There's got to be so much communication, because there's so, because we think of sludge metal, you think of Melvins, where it's like, he's gonna hit that a little bit longer, a little bit, and then he hits it. There's always like a little delay. Here, it's like long stretches of like nothing, and then a little, then boom, and then that's it for a while. It's extremely slow, but
it's not without purpose.
There's more notes now. Now they're actually playing fucking riffs. So mm-hmm. it sounds like a nothing thing. Like, oh, now the band is playing riffs. It sounds like I'm talking out of my fucking ass. When a band like this that has all this power behind it wasn't utilizing riffs, it was just leaving me like, I'm craving you to do something that's hooky. Mm-hmm. So when the opening track comes in, I Felt a Funeral, it is such a departure in that it's a beautiful, beautiful atmospheric piece. The riff itself is actually beautiful and really, I don't know, it's quite moving in a way. The textures and the arrangements are extremely, I don't want to... similar to a Lingua Sinner Get Ready, where there's like a bowed instrument or a stringed instrument of some kind. I can't tell what mm-hmm. exactly it is, but maybe it says here, but it has, and unsurprisingly, it's produced by Seth Manchester, same guy who produced it, where it has these really interesting, vibrant acoustic sounds that are just layered on top.
Also, there's probably more. I felt like when I was younger, I followed producers and then I just stopped giving a shit. I think Seth Manchester's the only modern producer I give a shit about.
Yep.
And part of that's due to laziness. But if I mean, it just so happens he works with all these bands I love. But like, if you're telling me about a band I don't know, and you tell me Seth Manchester worked with them, I will 100% listen to it. He's like,
his track record is insanely good. At this point, his track record is ridiculous. And I don't know if he produced their previous albums. I'm not gonna check right now, but I don't know if he produced the previous albums, but what he did here, there's so much patience on here. The elephant in the room for the album, I think, is the types of guitars that we're gonna hear, because mm-hmm. they are extremely bassy, extremely fuzzy, extremely buzzy, and they're probably gonna turn off a lot of people.
Oh, dude. I have like a proper car stereo now, and like I listen to this in my headphones, and then I listen to it in my car, and the album, I'm sorry for using the word minimal 100 times, but it's a very minimal album. And so like I knew there was power there because it's Big Brave, like that's one of the things they're good at, but like, oh my god, listening to this shit in my car, I was like fucking blown away when those like heavy parts like kick in.
And the wild thing is, this band doesn't have a bass player.
Well, I mean, yeah, fucking insane. I think we talked about that last time,
probably.
The other guitar player being Matthew Ball. And it's just like when you see them live or you're listening to it, you don't miss it. They're able to hit these deep, powerful low parts. In a summary for the album, and I think they were talking about the drummer, but really it describes the album perfectly. Powerfully reserved.
Yes.
That's the album in two words.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because these fuzzy guitars, like, I mean, I'm surprised that you blow out your fucking eardrums in your car with that, because dude, it makes the drums feel tiny.
Mm-hmm. But it's like by design.
Yeah. So the drums, when the drums come in, they do build things up and make things and bigger, but it's never what you're waiting for. You're not waiting for a drop. You're not waiting for the drums to come in. For me, it ended up just being, I want to hear these riffs played 1,000 fucking times, because they're good riffs. They stick with you. You feel them in your bones. But the production here, like, I can keep elaborating on the opener, because for like a good chunk of the song, the guitar is just fumbling. It's a guitar fumble. And that's for a good chunk of it, just a guitar fumbling. And it creates this entire atmosphere that actually is very cool.
I thought that was an interesting choice for a single. And then I heard the rest of the album and I'm like, it's one of the songs you could get closest to a tradition, like a traditional song. So I get one. And yeah, it is. That's it's just some of their most beautiful work ever. Robin talks about being inspired by female poets. And I think they also nailed that aspect throughout the album, where, you know, you can say all music's poetry. There's tons of cliche shit like that, but it does kind of feel like a book where you can't go to this specific chapter. You need the other chapters to support. Context. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That opening song, it really put me at ease, because I like that song more than their last two albums combined.
Oh fuck.
Like, it's not even close. And there's another thing. So this album just put to rest every any amount of skepticism I had about the band. So one, like I talked about already, the riffs. Now there's no longer songs of one note. There's songs of minimal stuff and like dicking around for sure, but there's no songs of just, we're going to hit an open note really mean and heavy for like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. No more of that. There's actual, you can grab onto this. Two, Robin's vocals finally have changed. And I'm so grateful, because she has a cool voice. Her shout, very cool shout.
Yeah.
She's done it the same way, in the same key, with the same note, for three fucking albums in a row.
I was going to say, this is like the best she's ever sounded.
Easily.
Yeah.
Even though she has that cool wail, I don't think she does it at all on this album. Maybe once.
It's not an album that needs wailing.
No.
Yeah.
Instead, she's way more subdued. She's way more controlled, singing beautifully and gently, not in a breathy Chelsea Wolf kind of way, just straight, just singing it straight.
Also, she's probably got to have one of the more unique voices in heavy music, even amongst women, I think.
It is a great voice. My only problem with it is that she always sang in the same key, doing the same types of vocal lines on every song. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how cool it is. If you do it for two, three albums in a row, I'm going to get tired of it. But here, the songs end up revolving around her vocals, because she's just singing melodic. She's singing melodies over it, and the gentle nature of the vocals juxtaposed with the intensity of the guitar style, texture, whatever effect that they decide to use, the type of distortion. It ends up giving a lot more depth. It makes it feel like it's more than just a brutal album. It makes it feel like it's more than just an arty album. Mm-hmm. It's lovely.
It reminds, not the way it sounds, not at all, but it reminds me of some Baroness albums in that way, where, without trying to sound like a douchebag or pretentious, like, you're experiencing art, and you're always experiencing art, but yeah, I don't, it's this a full, beautiful, like, at times dire, complete picture, and yeah, I need, like, it's this by its nature, I feel like I need time with it, like, like, I think if you're a fan of the band, or like, even if you think it's like mildly interesting, I think you're doing a disservice to only listen to this album like twice, even.
Yeah, to dismiss this one, I think is kind of, I think it's a little short-sighted, and it's, I think you're hurting yourself in the long run, because there's a lot on here. So not speaking of the ways, track two comes in big and fuzzy, of course, but it has these subtle acoustic elements and these really percussive drums. They're minimal, of course, like mm-hmm. we're going to keep saying, but it's very percussive. But it's just around 320, these big fat toms come in and it gets very doomy. Also, it still has the big doomy sludgy stuff.
Yeah, this around that same like feedback with those drums.
Yeah.
And then when it like gives way to like clean.
Yeah.
Plus, it's done masterfully. Like I talked about the quiet loud formula, where that's not the way it happens isn't a traditional quiet, but
yeah,
it's kind of what they've been doing.
Yeah, it takes a while to get there, and it just goes back to the main riff, I believe, but just clean. But it gives it a whole different meaning and feel. It sounds mm-hmm. almost sounds stoner metal. That same riff, and it doesn't feel like a loud, quiet type thing because, it takes so long to get there. One, and then two, it basically feels like just a really elaborate outro.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very well done piece.
There is parts of this album that make me think of the band, like the way the band Earth approaches their albums.
I think I saw them once, but never dived into their albums.
I had a headache and I gave you a ticket to Earth and Boris.
Yep, that's where I saw them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember.
Yeah. And it was a good show. It was a good ass show. We got for the first time in, I don't know if it's ever, but.
I feel like she's done it before.
Maybe before, but Chanson pour mon homme. The French song, French vocals and acoustic guitars falling all over the place.
All the Montrealians.
Yeah.
They're going to come after you.
Montreal.
Yeah. It's these like almost noodling over these ambient noise. When that song came on and it passed, I realize the way this album plays with time is very interesting because it is a full length song. It's like 3 minutes, 20 some seconds, but it feels like an interlude. And I don't mean that as like an insult. It's this an interesting way in which the band plays with time on this album.
Yeah. The stuff that's more transitional is much lengthier than you would imagine, but it doesn't register as time waster. It doesn't feel like you just sat through a filler track.
No, not at all.
Because that song, it's extremely texture driven. There's just the most buzzy acoustic guitars, like sounds like acoustic guitar is peaking.
Mm-hmm.
And drums come in the final track, but again, they're also just falling all over the place. It's really dissonant. But it is a very interesting piece. If it wasn't for the vocals, it'd be a hard one to justify. But the second single,
Cannon and Cannon.
Cannon and Cannon.
Is that about Nick Cannon? No.
If only. It rules. I think it rules. It's the fuzz here is so abrasive and it's drowning the instruments, but it's a really unique quality. It's really going overboard with the fuzz.
Yeah, and that's the song that really made me appreciate the like restrained drumming on the album.
Yeah,
like
they're really light.
If you're a lesser person, I can imagine some drummers being like, "Go fuck yourself! I'm not playing this."
Yeah,
or like I'll play it, but it'll be a little more busier. This too, I don't know. Just to commit to the vision is impressive to me.
Also, that one has these big moody pianos that come in with the drums around 3.5 minutes in. Beautiful pianos.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's another great riff. It's just a good, memorable riff, which is, God, man, it's all I was wanting for 5 years. It's just give me riffs. A Song for Marie, Part 3.
Is that an Ebow? I assume there's a lot of Ebow on this album, but I don't.
You mean Ebow? Oboe? Ebow? Like
the guitar thingy.
I don't know. Good question.
Damn it, Mike. You're supposed to.
I don't know at all. But that one,
that's one where you're like, man, that bass slaps. Oh wait, it's guitar.
Well, so that one, it's basically another transition track, another 3-minute transition track. But this, I thought it was a bass too, even though I keep forgetting that there's no bass in this.
We know there's no bass, but we want to believe.
It feels like it. And for 3 minutes, I would normally say that's way too fucking long for a transition. It doesn't really do anything, but it maintains the frequency of like the previous song. And like, I don't know why it works. Like, I can't even really like explain why it works. It just happens to work for me.
I think that's my general feelings about the album. I don't know why it works.
Yeah, I guess it does. So
I'm going to, I'll listen to it all year and years after. I'm trying to find the words.
It's a weird one. Theft has like a Western main riff in a very, very slow 7/4.
I like, this is a dark album, but I like when those riffs feel dark.
Yeah.
And this feedback permeating throughout the whole album, not just the song. It does have this like interesting, like swaying back and forth quality to it. And then I noticed she's singing about trees. So I like when, I like when
it feels like it.
Yeah. That weird, like it syncs up. So
interesting. That's funny. Cause despite the intensity of some of these layers, I find it to be a very relaxing track. I mean, it gets pretty crazy at the end, but it still feels like you're swaying.
Also, I thought it was going to get loud and bombastic, but it doesn't. And I'm not disappointed. It's just,
it gets abrasive, but
it's nice.
Yeah. It just gets intense. So was it quotidian?
Oh man.
Solemnity. Jesus Christ, I can't read.
Man, I don't know what effect that is on her vocals, but it's so fucking cool.
It sounds like a very subtle octave effect on them. Mm. It could be an overdub or something, but it sounds like an octave thing thrown on there. And it's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. My problem with that, it's probably my least favorite thing on there because of how minimal the writing is. It goes back to very, very few notes, but it's still done well. It also ends a little bit abruptly, but it's still very, very interesting.
Yeah. And then I think the closing track also has like a Western quality to it that I appreciate. And I like the ebb and flow of Theft, Quotidian,
yeah.
And then Moonset. It's just, I mean, I said it before, like you need the whole album, but particularly I like the way that those three songs ebb and flow.
Yeah, there's Moonset, there's so much looseness on there. It's really loose and hard to follow in a way. It's very floaty and stuff. But because of the clean textures, it just feels way more soothing.
Yeah.
Just compared to because we got so much insane abrasive noise. But it's nice. The around 3.5 minutes, any riff and tangible elements start to leave. it kind of just drifts off and like flies away, like the wind blew the song away. And because of that, I think it ends at another one that ends a little bit anticlimactically, but still a nice song, still a very cool, interesting thing, very different approach than other everything else on here.
Yeah.
But goddamn, yeah, this. Easily one of the best albums of the year so far, for me anyway.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it's gonna crack. There's a high probability it is, but I mean, I enjoy it. But yeah, it's this. Despite being minimal, there's so much to sink your teeth into, and like the way it plays with space and time almost reminds me of the way a jazz artist would approach music instead.
Like if you slow down a jazz record.
Like yeah. If there's like sludge jazz.
Oh, I'm making it, dude. Hell yeah. Holy shit. But yeah, it is one that I can't find many appropriate moods or excuses to throw this on, because it is a very intense thing. It's super slow. It's not the most cheery thing in the world. It's hard to put on in the background because it will get lost in the background. You have to be paying attention to it. It requires thought and attentiveness. So it's not the most it's not the most
you as you you wouldn't maybe this isn't a fan maker, but is one of their most ambitious creative outputs.
Yeah, and I think it's honestly, man, how many albums do they have total?
That's a good ass question.
They have a good amount.
Four, five, six.
Kids Among Them was their fourth, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. Yeah, that would make it.
They're eighth if you include the album with the body.
Yeah. So that's. Yeah, I would still say, I mean, I can't judge because I haven't heard the earlier ones, but it is absolutely one of the best that I've heard. Just different. Mm-hmm. And Sludge in a way that I've not heard Sludge, in a way more emotional, way more dynamic, and way more patient and subdued way.
Yeah.
Patient for Sludge.
I saw the, I think it was like an Instagram post they made where like, they were like Babe Ruth calling their shot with their album. I believe they called it the band they, or the album they've always wanted to make. And I was telling you about it and you were just like,
I was naysaying.
You were like, we'll see. We'll see.
I was naysaying because what I've been let down by everybody. Uh-huh. It's your band. I don't know what you want with your band. Maybe I'll like it. Maybe I won't. Who fucking cares? It's your band.
If you're a band and you're just like, nice to me for 2 minutes, I will want the world for you.
I didn't meet them. I was next to you guys when you met them. She seemed very nice. They all seemed very nice.
Even saying meeting them is, I'm using that real, it was just like a minute or two exchange.
Yeah. But very friendly people. Yeah. God bless them. I am more concerned with the music they're making. And this time I am on board and I've been brought back on the team. So that's, I'm happy about that.
I never left the team.
Never. I didn't leave the team. I was just not super excited about
where Mike wanted to get traded to the Miami Heat. He made a big deal about it. He said, Shaq has taken up all my minutes. You need to feed me the ball. It's a mess.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Everything he said is true.
Imagine Shaq discovers this podcast one day.
I don't think he'll find much.
No, he never will.
Enjoy. You know, I want to. Yeah, I'm Shaq, and I want to hear about weird, obscure, extreme metal from two blokes in Los Angeles.
He's gonna find our Tupac episode.
I hope he doesn't. I hope most people don't. That's not gonna go to good places. But thank you so much for listening and watching and hanging out. Check out the album when it comes out. I didn't put you saw the release date on the video because I added it in post because I forget everything.
It's been a long day.
Indeed, this comes out Friday, I believe. This comes out Friday. Yeah, this comes out, April 19th.
Also, what a fucking, I don't know if we'll get around to it. I just want to say what a fucking crazy week for music.
That every three different things on April 19th for us.
Fucking High on Fire, Melvins.
Yep.
We had Horse come out 3 days ago.
Yep.
Holy shit. If you like Sludge music, you're feasting this week.
Hell yes. That's my dude. 2024 shaping up to be pretty good, dude.
How last dude. Year was so insane.
Oh,
we're doing it though.
We're doing it. Hell yeah. So thank you so much for listening and watching. Hang out further if you think we're cool, or tell us why we're idiots and we don't know jack shit in the comments. Subscribe, like the video, you know what to do. You can follow me on all social media at PanderMonkey and Alex on Instagram at
Every Album Alex.
Please follow our history guy Tom Osmond at Tom Osmond Sounds on all social media, as well as TomOsmondSounds.com for all his music and of course his podcast. Whatever comes next, you can find that on Spotify right now. Good job, hell yeah, he's finally on Spotify. As well as his Substack, tomosmond.substack.com. He interviews musicians for us and for himself. It's a good ass podcast. He also writes about does features and interviews musicians in print. So go there, do that. Hell yes. And last but not least, patreon.com/everyalbumever. That's where you go. We got bonus episodes. We're being very regular about the bonus episodes. We're putting out two a month. So there's a bunch already there, and we're going to keep putting them out. You can also see our schedule in advance. You could vote on polls to decide who we're going to cover next. You get to join our Discord, be a part of the community, as well as suggest these EAE singles episodes. So if a new album came out this year, you want to hear us talk about it, throw it in there. We'll do it. And if you're tier two, if you're bigger than Jesus, then you could suggest a full discography for us to cover on our bigger, longer numbered episodes, as well as you can suggest also any album from any discography for us to cover on Patreon bonus episodes. So there's tons to do. It's very bang for your buck. A lot to do there. It's good stuff. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's wrap it with one of the singles.
To me, Funeral is so killer. The whole album's killer, but
I felt the Funeral's got to be the one. So thank you so much for listening and watching. See ya.
When they fall, we're